Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of God Trends Their Soul. That is courtesy of Johnny Davis, dropping a bunch of rest-based trending show titles. Although, to be honest, I have a song in my soul, a song in my heart, and it is Happy Birthday, Pauly, from Rocky IV. Because we were talking about Rocky IV before we started, because super producer Brian needed to calm me down, so he started talking about pet topics of mine, and he referred to Rocky IV as the one with the robot, which is true technically, but it also suggests that Rocky fights a robot. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined by one of the writers on this show, Mr. J.M. McNabb.
Hey, thanks for having me. Hey, that just got me thinking, when are the Creed movies going to bring the robot back?
That's the question. So they're on Creed 3. If it follows the path, you know, Creed 4 will be like ending a war and it will involve a robot. I guess like Rocky is the Pauly equivalent in the Creed universe, right? He's like kind of the, I don't know, he fulfills a lot of, I'm just trying to think of who would be turning the robot into a fuck bot, you know, because that is an important part of the story that. But when you go back, everyone's like, that movie's so ridiculous. Like, Rocky ends the Cold War by beating Ivan Drago and, like, convinces everybody that America rules because he's wearing America shorts. And what they forget is that they give Pauly a robot for his birthday. And the next scene, he has brainwashed it into being a sex robot that it is heavily implied he is fucking.
I think it's more of just like a companion, a romantic companion.
Okay.
Do they, you know, I don't know.
There's no fixtures on it, but it's very, Pauly, you're my king, daddy, give it to me. I don't know if that's a direct quote. Anyways, these are the things that are trending on this Thursday. The Oscars will have a crisis team, JM. This is just impressive for the blandness and vagueness of the language that is used by the person who's announcing this, the Academy CEO, Bill Kramer.
Which sounds made up.
Yeah, sounds made up. Like, they seem to be just trying to create a story that will evaporate as it is like going through my mind. As I'm trying to read it to you, it just like stops existing. CEO Bill Kramer is now claiming the Oscars will have a crisis team at the show, which is, quote, something we've never had before. According to Kramer, they've run many scenarios. What the fuck does that mean? We've run many scenarios, so it is our hope that we will be prepared for anything that we may not anticipate right now, but that we're planning for just in case it does happen.
This sounds like a book report on a, like when I would give a book report in school and I didn't read the book and someone asked me about it.
And therefore, and so forth. So it's like they're worried that there will be another slap. And so they had to create something to make it seem like they were doing something to prepare for it. But like, what could this possibly mean?
Like at the crisis team, like I reading this interview, like it wasn't even apparent to me if he meant like a security detail or like a team of publicists. Like,
sure.
I have no idea what this is. It's completely unclear.
Yeah. And then like, what are the running many scenarios referring to?
Yeah. Is it like, are you talking about like a bomb threat? Are you talking about if a guy slaps another guy? Like, it's so weird. There was never the possibility of a crisis before last year. Like, I don't understand any of this.
Do you pointed out when you were writing this up, like, do they run every different combination of movie star and presenter to slap one another like that? Because that seems like
that does sound fun.
It does sound fun. And it's also you respond to each different combination in completely different ways. Right.
Yeah.
Like if Natalie Portman runs up on stage and slaps Benicio del Toro, like that's fine, I think. Like nobody's mad about that.
Yeah. Right? What if Julie Andrews slaps The Rock? Like maybe you do nothing. I don't know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, sister. I feel like that's what he'd say.
Yeah, so weird. It does seem to me like they're just trying to maybe create this atmosphere of like anything can happen. Like they're trying to turn it into their advantage. The fact that the Oscars has this kind of renewed attention, because no one cared about the Oscars at all, really, until you know, for years, until what happened last year. And I feel like, they're maybe going to try to spin it, because they also had like that promo with Jimmy Kimmel where they're like, he's an unslappable host. And I was like, okay, I'm already sick of these jokes and we're still a month away from the show.
All right. Just continuing with this language, because it's truly like, it seems like a thing, like a series of words that was generated by an algorithm to put you to sleep. Because so he continues on. Because of last year, we've opened our minds to the many things that can happen at the Oscars, but these crisis plans, the crisis communication teams and structures we have in place allow us to say this is the group that we have to gather very quickly. What the fuck does that mean? This is how we all come together. This is the spokesperson. This will be the statement. And obviously, depending on the specifics of the crisis, and let's hope something doesn't happen and we never have to use these, but we already have frameworks in place that we can modify. Oh, word?
All I have to be is like, we hired like a mall security guard in case someone gets slapped again. And that's...
I feel like they probably hired like some former Mossad agents. Like, that... Just the way that Hollywood operates. Like there's probably a sniper team in the building that is ready to overreact to any situation.
Or they could just be like, going forward, if someone attacks someone else, we're going to ask them to leave. You know, like they don't have to be like, well, we have a crisis team and the crisis team in charge is going to select the emergency committee who will be in charge of nominating like, you know,
right. Yeah.
Just the head crisis team.
I'm just hoping that I am insulated by multiple layers of bureaucracy from any important decisions that are made. What he is saying over and over again. Let's see what else is trending. I mean, mainly that with the hotness of the takes there. So AV Club put out their best Netflix shows of all time. Ranked, and it's they like sad cartoons, it would appear. BoJack Horseman is the number one of all time, according to them. Which feels like a very like that's critics love that shit. I didn't dislike it, I thought it was very good, but
yeah,
I don't know. I would definitely put I Think You Should Leave over that, put a number of shows over that. I don't know. What were your thoughts?
I like BoJack. Yeah, I wasn't like, I know some people absolutely love it, but I think, I mean, it has like that kind of emotional depth that kind of surprises you, that I think
sure.
is why people love it so much. I mean, yeah. Stranger Things is number two.
Yeah.
Which
I was out
also,
after the first season, but it seems like you didn't people watch still it? Like it. I only watched the first season. Miles stuck with it. Miles has that portion of pop culture covered for us.
Yeah. No, I like it, but you know, I think there were peaks and valleys. I think the last season was strong.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of popularity, it would be number one, I guess. That's their main thing. I was happy to see Russian Doll is up there because I'm a big fan of that show.
Never seen it. These are the ones that like stand out to me as like, oh, that's higher than I expected. Higher or lower. Russian Doll, higher than I expected. Number four.
Yeah.
American Vandal at number eight.
Did you ever watch that? Because I remember talking about that on the show a long time ago.
Yeah. I liked the first season and I couldn't really get through the second season. But to put American Vandal above I Think You Should Leave is, I think, malpractice. But that's just me. But what else? The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt at number 21 feels low. Black Mirror at 20 feels like, I definitely agree that show like fell off. But when that first hit, it was like, wow, this is, you know, it was really prestige, the most prestige of prestige TV shows.
Yeah. But also, and it was, yeah, House of Cards is higher than Black Mirror. It's at 19. And that show, I never really like that show, but also it just ended and like they kept going despite Kevin Spacey being fired, and it just spiraled out of control.
Yeah, I didn't really, I don't think of too many people thinking of that as like a great work of television beginning to end. But
no, it was bad to begin with, in my opinion. But
yeah,
and Kimmy Schmidt, yeah, that's way too high for that show, in my opinion.
Yeah. You would put it lower in the numbers or lower in your esteem?
Lower in my esteem. I'm not a huge fan of that show.
Of Kimmy Schmidt?
Okay. Kimmy Schmidt, yeah. And oh yeah, the thing that struck me when I first looked at it is the last ranked in these 50 was Cobra Kai, which people love. And
yeah.
I think it's a good show.
Definitely like started very strong. I think that's true of a lot of these, I would say. A lot of these start very strong and they're not giving any extra points for just staying strong the whole time. It feels like they're maybe just ranking it by the heights that it reached. Because
I think you're right. Yeah. That makes sense.
But Bridgerton at being pretty low when that first season hit, that was it's a real cultural event. I know people loved it. I thought it was fine. And now it like, in retrospect, is everyone just like, yeah, that wasn't shit? It seems like it a little bit. Because it is at number, what do we got here? 38. And The Babysitter's Club is at 34. So,
yeah, The Witcher is ahead of Bridgerton.
Yeah. So,
and Sweet Tooth, which is a surprising one because I never hear anyone talk about that. That was a show that's based on a comic by a Toronto guy, actually. And I was interested in it because I read the comic, but I've never heard anyone talk about that in real life.
Yeah. 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 Multiple hauntings of various locations sprinkled throughout the list. But yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about other shit that is trending.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and maybe nobody does out Pizza the Hut. The takeout is saying that Pizza Hut is set to overtake Domino's.
Yeah.
I don't think I know anybody who has eaten Pizza Hut in the last 35 years. I didn't believe that they existed, people who still eat Pizza Hut.
I'm pretty sure the last time I ate Pizza Hut, I was given a collectible toy for the movie Casper. That's right. How long it's
like
been.
That's what they, so there must just be a whole different like generational thing happening for Pizza Hut. I guess I should say I haven't like ordered pizza from Pizza Hut or had like a piece of pizza. I have had personal pan pizzas in various airports or truck stops on the Jersey Turnpike.
Right.
But nothing in the traditional pizza delivery context.
I think it could be like the nostalgia thing too.
Right. They were doubling down on nostalgia. They were introducing like the big New Yorker.
Yeah, exactly. And like the logo is more like it used to be now.
They need to. Okay. So Pizza Hut, I'm going to stop making fun of you if you will start opening old like Pizza Hut shaped Pizza Huts, like pizza parlors, and like bring back the cups, bring back the pizza buffets, and like do that for us. I will forgive you. I'll even maybe order your pizza once or twice, but I can't. I don't know. This just doesn't track with me, a 42-year-old man's impression of the world. I'm the target demo, right?
I think this war between Domino's and Pizza Hut has been brewing ever since the home video release of Ninja Turtles. Because Speaking of being old men, like, I don't know if you remember this, but when the Ninja Turtles video came out, Domino's paid for product placement in the movie, but somehow Pizza Hut paid to have like an ad put before the movie starts, like a commercial for Pizza Hut. So there's this conflicting messaging.
Troubling.
Yeah. So I feel like I've been caught between these two pizza chains ever since that happened.
Who did you side with? Because that's like you're not my real dad, Pizza Hut like type thing. You know?
Yeah.
Mixed messages.
I stuck with Domino's. Yeah. I do like it. It's not my favorite pizza, but also my kids had Domino's and it's their favorite now, so they always want Domino's.
Yeah, that's my kids' favorite pizza too, like. Of all the pizzas, like there's good pizza in Los Angeles, I swear. And they don't believe me. They're like, no, I would much rather have Domino's. And this is, by the way, the thing that got me started on a run where, because Super Producer Brian was like, nobody likes Domino's. Domino's is bad pizza. And I like a spark started like firing off behind one of my eyes, and I just started glitching out. And then he had to be like, Rocky Four, Jaws, the British full gas study. yeah, I don't know. I think Domino's is a superior product, but I have only the foggiest of recollections of what Pizza Hut pizza tastes like.
I think it's the nostalgia. I think it's the image of Pizza Hut that like people who are our age have from like commercials. Like when I think of Pizza Hut, I think of like a happy family that wasn't my unhappy family sitting in like a nice restaurant having a pizza that looked perfect.
Yeah. The family in the booth over that you exactly. feel like, man, they look happy. Yeah. The last time that I was at a Pizza Hut, kale was merely a garnish. That was what kale was primarily used for, was Pizza Hut pizza buffet garnishes.
And it also like, it felt like Pizza Hut was always on the vanguard of some new pizza technology. Like they're putting cheese in the crust. Like what are these wizards concocting over at Pizza Hut HQ?
Cheese in the cheese. It's fucking crazy, man.
Just forms a black hole and
cheese hole
destroys the earth.
Yeah. So anyways, I think the real secret is that Domino's and Papa John's both raised their prices because, I don't know, kids don't like to work anymore, or everybody raised their prices and they did not get away with it. So that's like one of the good piece of news, is all the other things are, you know, oil companies being like, yeah, so we raised our prices by 60% and wouldn't you know it, we broke our records for profits. And this is the one instance where there isn't a monopoly, like Domino's has not acquired Pizza Hut or vice versa, and therefore we still have competition between the pizza chains. And so really does feel like just Domino's raised their prices and Pizza Hut didn't, and now people want Pizza Hut.
God, wouldn't it be awful if like Disney bought the concept of pizza and it was just all owned under one corporate umbrella?
Eventually. Yeah. They're doubling down after so they're like, you know what people want clearly in the year 2023? More Lord of the Rings. After they spent like a lot of money on that Prime show, like $1 billion, I think, was the rumor. And it doesn't exist as far as I know, that show. Like I don't know anybody who watched it and is like, what I'm excited about is the Lord of the Rings show on Amazon. But anyways, they just announced that they're doing more movies for Lord of the Rings, like unrelated to the Amazon Prime show. Like Warner Brothers is like, we're bringing it back, baby.
Well, yeah, because I think the Amazon deal, which was so ludicrous, that price they paid was just for the TV rights, because I think the film rights, there was some complicated legal thing where no one was even totally sure who owned the rights, and they were up for sale at one point. So that was like, yeah, totally different from like the TV thing, which is nuts. I don't know. I think that show, which I watched like half of it.
That's about the record as far as I understand. The record for the most of that show anyone watched was half of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even bad. It was just like, I don't know, it was hard to watch. It was hard to get through.
Yeah. It was just kind of a slog. Like, I don't understand why they didn't just get the idea that Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit and all of that is a quest. It's like a guy has to go put a thing somewhere or get a thing.
Right.
And, you know, goes on a journey. And this was just, it was more like Game of Thrones or something, and it's plotting, whereas a bunch of, you know, different
they really
characters
tried to
spread throughout.
Intrigue. But like,
between that and the Hobbit movies, like, it does just seem like it was just kind of one series of books that people liked, and, you know, attempts to turn that into more TV and movie content hasn't really worked so far. So it is kind of surprising to hear Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it feels like the elastic on this one stretched out, guys. Thank you. I'd hate to see Hollywood billionaires make a mistake and not have all their money, but, you know.
That being said, it could be great. They could bring in the robot from Rocky IV.
Thank you. And that is what we were talking about. Please. Happy birthday, Gandalf. I don't know. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings person. All right, those are some of the things that are trending on this February 23rd. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. JM, where can people find you?
Oh, at JM McNabb again on Twitter.
Okay, cool. Also, get the vaccine if you haven't done that already. Also, don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.